animal before you feed yourself. How do you look at such a thing? So you could either look at it as a great opportunity. Look, I have an opportunity that no one else has because I have a pet. I could be mekayim this obligation, this chiyuv every single day, morning and night. Before I eat, I could go feed it. Or you could say, look, this is a tremendous michshol. Look, so many times it'll come, I'm rushing, I barely eat breakfast myself, and I'm not going to remember feeding my own dog. So is it an opportunity or a michshol? It depends on how responsible you are. But one thing for sure, there's a Shari Tshuva that says that if the animal is able to scrounge around on its own and fends for itself, it fends for its own meals, that does not fall under the requirement to feed the animal before you feed yourself. But otherwise, most say that this requirement is a chiyuv d'oraisa. Some say that it's that the pasuk is a smach ba'alma and it's only a chiyuv d'rabbanan. But we have to be careful because many say that it's a chiyuv d'oraisa. This applies to all pets.
If you have dogs, put in the bowl.
Ah, very good. That's a great question. Didn't ask a question. So the Paiskim say that obviously this chiyuv is talking about there is no food available for the animal. But if the food is available for the animal, you don't have to sit on top of it and watch, make sure it eats every bite, and then you could go eat yourself. If it's available, it's available. You're done with your chiyuv. But you have to be very careful because most shitas, including the Prima God and Mishnah Berurah, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Magen Avraham, and more, say this requirement is by all meals and even a snack, which means you're done breakfast and your animal is the needy type that it will eat and it will need to eat again and again. So you want to have your brunch, you have to eat, you have to feed your animal brunch before you feed, you eat your own brunch.
What if your animal has set?
And they don't interfere with yours, or they do?
What?
And they don't interfere with yours, or they do?
Well, let's say the animal eats at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night. So and now you want to have dinner at 6. Do you have to put food in the animal's bowl, even though it's not time for the animal to be fed?
That's a very good question. I would say, I'm not a Pisic, but I would say no, because he's not hungry yet. If he was hungry already, then his dinner time would be 6, right?
Wow.
So you don't have to feed it a fish every single time until it busts, right? Every time you want to eat. If once enough is all it takes, so then once a day is enough.
Well, it depends, because a dog, if it sees you eat, it will always want to eat. Dogs will eat until they're sick. So that's the question. Do you have to give it like a little bit of what you eat? Also, if you give it a little bit of what you eat before you eat, you just want more after you're done.
We'll get about whether you have to, we'll discuss whether you have to feed, you're allowed to even feed what you're eating, but I understand your question. It's a good question. Most say that this applies to fish as well. This applies to fish as well, any animal. Some say that the Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Tshuva, says that maybe this only applies to the beasts of the field, including sheep and cattle, but not a dog. And then he says it's royal ahachmer, you should be machmer, you should be medaktik, and feed even a dog first. But most say unequivocally that you have to feed even a fish first. Drinking you're allowed to do first, and how do we know that? The Mishnah Berurah says, he brings a beautiful raya. He says, by Rivka, Rivka says that she say, drink. Rivka was talking to Eliezer, drink. V'gam gemalacha ashkad, and also to your camels I will give to drink. So from there, Mishnah Berurah brings a raya that you could drink first, you don't have to give your animals to drink first. Ramosha says in the Tshuva that obviously, and it may go without saying, somebody asked Ramosha though, that you're allowed to feed your children who are dependent on you. They can't open the fridge themselves and find food. So you're allowed to feed your children first and before your animal. So I was wondering this also. So Hayotzi Mikan, it makes sense that you consider Shtukul Kol Shekein over here. If the person, the baby comes first, the kid comes first before the animal, and the animal comes before you, so the kid also comes before you. I would say, I'm not sure. Okay, so we need a time is coming.
You're talking about my grandchildren.
Okay, I didn't know you were here. Now I know. Fine. So what about muktzah? Muktzah is a big issue. Muktzah, this is a tremendous, tremendous shaila. And it's, we have to know, what's the halacha with muktzah? So the Machaber and Shenchas says that it's aser letaltel behema chaya v'aif. It's aser to touch any of these, to move, touching is mutter, move any of these animals. The Mishnah Berurah says why? Because they're ke'etzim v'avanim. Ke'etzim v'avanim indicates that they have no usage on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if they're wreaking havoc, they're destroying kelim, jumping around your house, you may not touch them, move them. So, move them. Touching is permissible. You cannot pick it up. So we'll see it in a moment. So you may ask, what do you mean? Pets, they have a tremendous usage. We said in the beginning of the share that pets, they're great alarm systems and they keep you happy. And somebody even told me that the average pet owner has a lower blood pressure. Unbelievable, unbelievable things. Is that true? You heard this? Unbelievable.
People live longer
and it's a tremendous, tremendous thing to have a pet. Well, how could you say they're ke'itzim v'avanim? So it says Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis that the Gemara over there, we're not going to speak out the entire Shaka Vataria, but the Tosfos says that an Afrayach Meis is Mokta. Afrayach Meis means a dead bird is Mokta. So ask Tosfos, what about an Afrayach Chai? What about an alive bird? Says Rabbi Yosef, one of the Bali Tosfos, that an Afrayach Chai is not mukta. Why is it not mukta? Says Rabbi Yosef that because it has the ability to be l'shachik bayatinik, to entertain and amuse a child. If it has that ability, so then it has a tremendous usage. It's no different than a teddy bear. It has no different than a toy. It has a tremendous usage. It is not mukta. However, Taisus himself, right afterwards, says. V'loy nihiroli, that's his lashon. Tesis argues and he says, no, they are mukta, and they are no different than krugagaris v'tzimukin. What does krugagaris v'tzimukin mean? Krugagaris v'tzimukin are two types of foods. One is a raisin, one is a fig, and these two foods, when let out to dry in the intermediate stage between grape and raisin, are masriach. They become smelly, putrid, and a person shuns them away from his mind. And therefore, says the Mechaber in Shin Yod Sif Hey, that a person cannot even be mazmin such a thing, which means if a person has lahadya das on something that is a true case of gegaris v'tzimukin, a person cannot have das anyways. A person cannot make them mutter on Shabbos. So there is a Tesis Arash and also printed. And Tesis Arash says that no, they're not Krugagaris. He doesn't say no. He says, he uses a different terminology to describe the level of mukta of an Afrayach Chai. And he argues also with Yosef. And he says that actually, an Afrayach Chai is, he says a lashon that it's no different than a nice stone. A nice stone is also mukta if you weren't mazmin. I think that would be the nafkamina between Taisvis Harosh and Taisvis. One uses the lashon gregaris v'tzimukim to describe a pet bird that's able to entertain a child, and one says no, it's ke'itim ke'avanim, which one actually can be mazmin. But they both, all in all, argue with the shita of Rabbi Yosef and say that it is mukta. There are. We're gonna get to the bottom line. So there are many other shittas that discuss pets. There's a Chuvas Harosh who says it's a light plug. There's a light plug we argue with. There's Shita of Rabbi Yosef, and there's a light plug on all pets, and all pets are Balei Chaim, and they are Mukta. There's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav that says, even though, yes, you can it can use an animal to entertain a child, it's still Mukta. Mincha Shabbos says, Roy Lehachmir. There is an Igros Moshe and Chelek Dalet who has, there is a tshuva sent to him that somebody is asking, what about a fishbowl? A bowl with fancy fish in it, and it's used for noy. Now, noy is, again, a code word for a shimush. It has a usage. Well, can you move such a thing on Shabbos? Rav Moshe says, no. There is the Shot Hilchos Ketanis also says no. And that is that. However, some say differently. Some say, no, pets, lemaisa, are no different than any household item. And if they have a usage, they have a usage. And there is an Igros Moshe in the Helige Chilek Ches. And over there, his anacle, Reb Tendler, comments on Reb Moshe's words. When Reb Moshe says that an animal is Muktzah, but says Reb Tendler, that pets, Pei Ayin Tes Samach, are mutter. Pets are mutter. So I want to just put out whatever I came across. I want to just put on the table, and everybody can make their own decision. Obviously, with the help of a rabbi.
When you're pulling the leash, is that moving? Are you moving the animal?
Is that mukta? Maybe it's totem and atzad. I'm not sure. It's a good question. It's totem and atzad. It's arach davar aser mechlekes chazanish mishkabura. Okay. If it's for your purpose, you need the fresh air or the animal. Okay.
Isn't it mazmin here though that you can be mazmin? Maybe,
maybe you could be mazmin. So according to this Tosa Rosh, maybe according to Tosa Rosh, you would think there would be a havamin. But the later Paiskim come out that it's mukta. There's a rule. He says a very good svarta mater. He says tzeilumad from any klishir, a klishir, a harmonica, is mutter to move on Shabbos. If not for the gzera, then maybe it will come to break. Meaning lula the gzera, it would taka be mutter to move. There was no problem with moving a musical instrument. So what's the difference between that and a frey chai that's chirping and amusing a child? This is the lashon of the arzera. Why is it gregarious zimukin? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chas brings down Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that's talking about a very unique, specific case. He's talking about a seeing eye dog. And over there, the seeing eye dog, he says, since it's miyuchad for a shimush, it's mutter. So some take this Shlomo Zalman Auerbach maybe for more than it's worth and applying it to all pets. But I don't know if that's a good heter. But Rabbi Yael Levin, he comes once a year, or he comes and he's known to know Shas with Paiskim, and Rishayim also at his fingertips be'ion well, and he asks Dalam, what are you learning? And on the spur of the moment, he will sit down and give a whole be'ion shir for an hour on your sugi that you spent 3 weeks on. So we were learning mukta, and the chashiva younger man asked him, what about pets? What's the difference between a pet and a teddy bear? So Rabbi Yael Levin, in his legendary way of explaining a shtickl Torah, said, because a pet, an animal, is the chafza of an animal is that it's a bal chai, and if it's a bal chai, it's mukta. So it seems like most paiskim I tried very, very hard. Most paiskim come out that it's mukta. There are matirim, and you have to know, I asked Rabbi Lehrfeld. Rabbi Lehrfeld said, I mean, we need Yom Kippur for something. That was his comment. That was Rabbi Lehrfeld's response. But paiskim are naita that it's mukta, which means, what does mukta mean? No picking up, no moving. There's a bar halacha. What about what? I'm not sure. That's a very good question.
What about directing somewhere? Just like you said, with walking the dog, like directing, pulling on the leash just a little bit, not actually dragging it, and also preventing it from moving.
Preventing it from moving. How are you preventing it from moving?
Okay, so like a cat, you push down on it, and it's not going to not hard enough to hurt or anything. But you just push down on it, and it's not going to move.
But you're moving it down, no? A little bit.
I guess you're making it lie down, but you're not actually shoving it down. You're just keeping it from moving.
It's a little bit of a tilt, I think. What about petting? What about petting an animal? So there is a Ber Halacha in Shin Beis that says, "Bederach Efshar." There is a Klal Gadol that when Mukta is Asr, so Afil b'Miktzasai, even part and parcel of the Mukta is Asr also. For example, let's say a mace is lying there, so you're not, a mace is Mukta, you're not allowed to move a mace. So even a finger or an eyelid is Mukta also, it's, even though it's not the mace, it's part of the mace. But miktas mukta equals mukta as well. So it says a Ber Halacha, what about the hair of an animal? So he says bederach afshar, that it's mutter because it's not, maybe it's not part of the animal. But then he says v'tzarach in. So I'm not sure if we can go with this Ber Halacha. It's something. I'm not sure. I asked Rabbi Weberman. He said you could pet it maybe in the direction of the grains, but not against the direction. Obviously, tail and ears are off limits, so you're pretty limited there. And it's like also playing with fire if you're going to go with the pet being mukta.
So you can't move its head, or you can't like push it. You're going to push its head.
If you hold it, if we're going that it's mukta, then yeah.
So if it's mukta, then all kinds of movement are off limits.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, we'll talk about a heter. What about moving it? Let's say you don't want the dog to run into the street, right? Let's say you don't want the dog to run into the street. So mukta is not lifted b'makom tzar or b'makom hefsid, but with the combination of both. You have, let's say, a hefsid, and you have, let's say, tzar, and tzar is the same, potential tzar, potential danger for the dog equals tzar as well. So to prevent it from running into the street would be mutter to guide it back into the house, to lift it, even maybe to bring it back into the house, because you have tzar and you have hefsid. Another example would be, let's say, a fish. Commonly, fish will see the light and jump out of the fish tank, and then they jump around, and even though they look like they're living, they are really dying. And the fish is jumping around. So the makam hefsid, let's say it's an expensive fish, and it's for certainly suffering, you can pick it up and put it back into the fish tank. If it's a goldfish that you want at your carnival, it's not really a hefsid. So there would be no hatter to do it. You need both. Both are needed. So running into a street blibes tzar, because the animal is running in the street. You don't want it to get hit by a car. And hefsid, it certainly is a hefsid. You don't want to lose your pet, right? So it's mutter to bring it back into the house. Also, let's say a cat doesn't know how to swim. Dogs know how to swim. Cat jumps into it. Everybody has, a lot of people have swimming pools. Cat jumps into a pool, it's drowning, right? You're allowed to pick it up and take it out of the pool because you have hefsid and tzar. Pushing, you could push. Oh, Binyamin, pushing is mutter without the both. You could have either tzar or hefsid.
But not just for your own pleasure.
Not for your own, no. No.
Tzar and hefsid only apply to your own pet. Let's say it's your neighbor or a stray dog.
Oh, that's a good question. Tzar and well, you don't have hefsid. You don't have hefsid, really.
Someone else.
So it's a stray. It's probably smarter than your average house pet, no?
What?
A stray probably knows, no? Not true. Potential tzar malachim. I'm not sure. What about cages? Cages of an animal's cage. Let's say the animal is there the whole b'nei shmashas. So mukta that's muktzah. It's a basis ladavra muktzah, and the basis is muktzah. So the cage is off limits, and if the animal wasn't even in there the whole Shabbos, so then it's just a klisha malach del eser. Now, what about tzaya? So there's a problem. It's very important. People clean up after the dogs. There's even a fine. What's it at these days? $250 if you don't clean up? Something like that. It's expensive. $500. Do I hear five? So you have a big fine if you don't clean up after a pet. The shaila is, tzaya is muktzah. So how do you clean up after your pet on Shabbos? Now there's a heter and a lot of isurim, even isuri d'oraisa can be lifted for the sake of kavod habris. And one of those is muktzah. Muktzah can be lifted for kavod habris. For example, the graf shori. Graf shori is a heter to maintain the dignity of people. So the Chacham said that let's say something that's utterly mukta like tzaya, it can be lifted, it can be moved if it's making somebody uncomfortable. It's in your living quarters, in your chatzah. So what about, let's say, on 10th Avenue? The 10th Avenue is not in your living quarters. What's the heter? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Weiberman also told me this, that 10th Avenue already, people are walking, that's already called a chatzer. It's already in people's face that no one wants to see that. So a person's allowed to clean it up, a pooper scooper, I think they call it, is not. I was told from a younger man in the Miami Beach Kollel that his Rosh Kollel said that it's not called Tilta Min HaTzad. Somebody, it's not called Tilta Min HaTzad. I'm not sure why. But with a bag, I don't know. I can't understand how somebody's going to do that. How somebody could bring himself to do that. But to clean it with a bag is certainly muktzah. If it's, let's say, on a side street where you don't have a heter of graf shori, you cannot pick it up. What about raising certain animals that may be a problem? Pigs, there is an absolute chiram. A yid is not allowed to raise a pig. There is a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel says, Kol hamigadol kelev ra b'sarich b'esai, is maynea chesed mitarich b'esai. It's maynea chesed. There's another lashon that is pyrik mimenu yira shemaim. Very, very strong language. A person who has, let's say, what's a kelev ra? Certainly a pit bull, maybe a German shepherd. A very wise man once told me, actually recently, said that Jews have like a phobia towards dogs because over the years, for many generations, Jews were tormented with dogs. So the phobia for dogs was transmitted from generation. Like a parent would cringe, and because he saw his parent cringe, so people are afraid of dogs. But I don't think a little poodle is called a kalavra. So Gemara says, brings down a very interesting, very tragic story. The Gemara says that a woman went into her neighbor's house to bake something. And when she was busy over there, a big dog came and barked at her, and Layalenu, the lady miscarried. So the owner said, "Oh, don't worry." And the owner, I guess unknowingly, said, unknowing of the miscarriage, said, "Don't worry. The animal is already declawed and defanged. You have nothing to worry about." And the lady said, "Take your good and throw it into the thorns." I guess that was like a lashon of like. Like, I don't know, so, you know, thanks a lot. Because the baby, kvar, nod havlod, because the baby already became dislodged. Rashi says, what does menei chesed mean? Menei chesed means because aniyam are going to knock on your door, and they're going to hear a loud, ferocious bark, they're gonna leave. And you're going to lose the opportunity of doing tzedakah. And that's a tremendous opportunity. And it's really an opportunity for Hashem to reciprocate also chesed onto you. And that will all be lost when the ani is scared away.
It's not that way today, though, because tzedakah, I mean, I have a dog. Tzedakah collectors do knock on the door, they hear the bark, and they, you know, tell me, they tell whoever comes to the door, keep the dog back, and they don't actually leave.
That's interesting. I guess it depends on the decibels of the dog, the dog's bark. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I don't know. Maybe people are so accustomed to having dogs say a bit that especially in North Miami Beach, every single mishloach already heard 12 dogs. He's not scared anymore. So that's that. Now, what about Michael Adam Lebehema? Is it mutter to give? Somebody already alluded to this discussion. Michael Adam Lebehema, full-fledged consumable food for a person. Can it be fed to an animal? There's a whole Maisa in Tainus, Gemara, Tainus, Daf Chaf Amnibes, and the Gemara over there, we're not going to get into the story, but it's a fascinating story, and I highly recommend a person learn to see this Gemara. But the Rashi brings two different reasons why a person should not give good food to a dog. One reason is because it's a bezayin for the Eichlin. The Rashi's lashon is bezayin Eichlin. It's a bezayin for food because it's the machzik kebayit b'tayva shehakadosh baruch hu shehishpia hakadosh baruch hu ba'olam chas v'shalom. It's as if a person's kicking at the tremendous good that Hashem is bestowing upon us in this world, and that we do not want to look like. We do not want to do such a thing. And Rashi says another reason, it's a hefset for the food. Why is it a hefset for the food? I'm feeding it to the animal. Because until now, it was able to satiate a human being. Now you're lowering its usage, its level of usability. And you're giving it to a dog, you're lowering what it could have been used for, and that's called mafsid eichel.
So you can't feed bread to the ducks?
We're going to get to bread, and we're going to get to ducks, and we're going to get to all of that. There's a prima goddam that says that if food is already going bad, or let's say it's food that you can't even eat, let's say it's food that ruach ra went over, you can't, or onion, that one of those onion situations, you have to toss it, or let's say it's arla or any of these type of examples, you can't eat anyways. So they're not being mafsed the food, but there's still an issue, a bezayin for eichel. You have to get rid of it in a bechavadik manner, and not shalai b'derech bezayin. There was a Pardes Yosef I saw brought down in the Piskei Tshuva. I did not verify, but it's a davar mistaber to say such a thing. He says the food is obviously going bad. It's mutter, but pirurei hamaitzi, says the Mishnah Brura, which means the crumbs that are left over from when you were cutting for the hamaitzi is aser to give to a dog or even to a nachri. Why? Because it's a bezayin, says the Mishnah Berurah, to the mitzvah. And some go so bad, there's a Sefer Chassidim that says even food that you made a bracha on, so the other half also is nichla on the bracha, you can't give that part of the food to an animal. It's a bezayin to the food. There's a Sefer Chassidim that says anything that was left over from a Sudas mitzvah, Shalom Zachar included, Rabbi Englander told me, is called Sudas Mitzvah and should not be degraded and given to an animal. Now, what about Mishtamish B'Bal Chai? So there's an Isidur Abanan, you should not use a Bal Chai. A person shouldn't put lean on a dog, put an animal on a dog, a kid on a dog, on Shabbos, obviously we're talking about. Because it's using the dog. This is not no shaykh, it's the mokza, it's called mishtamish b'achai, it's a problem. Somebody had a chap to have a dog pull him on a skateboard, so maybe that would be an issue. I don't know if it's mishtamish b'achai or maybe mechamer, but it might be an issue. And if you throw a cat in there for extra speed, it might be climb also. a seeing eye dog of Shlomo Zalman Orbach said is not mukta because it has a usage. And since it's miyuchad for a shemesh, it's fine. But the harness of such an animal, again, going back to Haitzah, the harness is for whose sake? For the blind or for the dog? It's for the blind. So there, that poses a potential problem for Haitzah. Let's say there's no Erev. But Rabbi Ribiad is not to matter such a thing. I'm not sure what the svara is. And bringing such a dog into a shul, there's a famous tshuva to Ramesha. He says that it's mutter to bring such an animal, go to the back, but it's not. There's no issue of kalas rush. And finally, the last point, what about the halacha of she'im is a nice of halacha? So we're not going to get into Shabbos Shira, but a person may not exert themselves and feed an animal that does not rely on them for food. Exception is, the Mishnah Berurah says, a dog you're allowed to feed. A stray dog is allowed to be fed on Shabbos. And the reason is because Hashem is chas on a dog for whatever reason. It's mizayin isav is muat. It has very little food in it. It will hold its food from digesting just 3 days more than a regular person or another animal, because just to delay the process, because it's always it needs the food and it needs to hold out. So you're allowed to feed a dog, a stray dog, on Shabbos. It's a Mishnah Berurah. A fish in a pond is a problem. You can't feed, unless you have a little man-made pond in your backyard. You cannot feed the fish on Shabbos because they work it out themselves. They reduce the mosquito population. They figure it out. They eat. They find what to eat on their own. I just want to end off that I heard I was a few Shabbos ago. I was walking by Rabbi Yitzchak Goodman's shir. And I heard him say an unbelievable maisa. He said that even in Rabbi Elio Lapian's later years, he was still getting up very, very early in the morning. And somebody asked his Tamidim, asked him, why are you still getting up so early? You're old. Why are you exerting yourself so much? So he responded with an unbelievable answer. He said, because if you look, And the very first Sif in Shulchan Aruch, the entire Shulchan Aruch, the Sif starts off that a person should be Ma'ar Da, what does it say? Ma'ar Da Shachar. A person should be Ma'ar Da Shachar. A person should precede the morning. He should wake up the sun. Why? Because that's the way to do Avodas Hashem. So there are a lot of heterim to roots him in explanations. But so Rabbi Elio Lapian says, but Lemaisa, after 120, I'm going to get up upstairs, and they're going to say, okay, have a seat. They're going to open up the Archaim for Sif Machaber, and he's going to sit, and they're going to ask him, okay, you have to be Ma'ar the Shachar, and what am I going to do? I'm going to start already with Terutzim. I'm going to come up with the explanations and Terutzim for the very first Sif in Shulchan Aruch. So says Elio Lapian that I have to do my best. So what I took out, I found it to be a very inspirational story. What I took out is that a person has to do their best. Halacha can be very demanding, but halacha only wants that a person has to do their very best on their level. And I want to thank everybody for listening, and have a wonderful day.